How has Pope Francis changed your impression of the Catholic Church, if at all? Do you appreciate his reframing of church priorities and his focus on working with the poor and the uneducated and living a simpler life? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, April 18th. And on this Good Friday, we will talk about the Pope Francis effect, about how the Pope is shaking things up and trying to reframe church priorities, and what effect that is having with the current and past and potential Catholic Church members. What's your impression? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Bill Thorne, an associate professor in the Journalism and Media Studies Department at Marquette University and the director of the Institute for Catholic Media. He is also a consultant to Vatican Communications since 1982. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. So my producer, Robin Cherry, said, let's do something on the Pope Francis effect on Good Friday. And I said, what's the Pope Francis effect?
Yeah, exactly.
So what is it?
The effect is a strong humanization of that role of the Pope. And every Pope sets his own sort of agenda. I think when I was young and thought of the Pope, and it was Pius XII and Paul VI, I thought of these very holy men, but who had very serious faces and were very reserved, and you'd see them occasionally, and you'd not often see a smile. I think John Paul II changed that greatly, but I think what we have in Pope Francis is somebody who has really humanized that role as Pope, and he reveals to us the great love he has for humanity, which he sees, I think correctly, as a natural role of Catholics. I'm reminded that long ago, between Paul VI and John Paul I, that Andrew Greeley wrote a column in which he said the next pope really in this media age needs to be a smiling, joyful, outgoing kind of leader. And that's exactly what we have. I think we are looking into the interior of this Pope's personality, and it's a wonderful kind of outreach to everyone, especially the poor, the young, the crippled, and the rest.
Well, talk a little bit more about that. How has he humanized the church besides smiling?
Three things. Wednesday, at the audience, he's riding around in the Popemobile, and he stops in front of some school kids from the town of Perugia. And he chats with them a bit, and then sort of offhandedly says, "Would anyone like a spin around the in my Popemobile?" And two 11-year-olds said, "Yeah, me."
Oh my goodness!
And so he puts two 11-year-old boys in the Popemobile, and around they go, and they start they start waving like the Pope.
Oh, yeah. What did you do today? Well, I went for a spin in the Popemobile.
Yeah. How many people can say they did? Especially at 11 years of age. And so they take one turn around at the St. Peter's Square, and he drops them back off with the rest of the school kids from Perugia. And then he continues to go around again. A couple other things that I think have really touched people, at least from what I've heard. Perhaps the most pronounced was a year ago when he went to the youth detention center for Holy Thursday instead of having it at St. Peter's, and he washed the feet of 12 inmates, including one woman. And there was just incredible shockwaves that went through the Catholic community because this is breaking tradition. It's uncommon, but it speaks of the Pope's concern for those who are on the margins of society. The second one is the time in St. Peter's Square during, again, one of these Wednesday audiences, when he reaches out to this man who has a terrible case of boils and all the rest and hugs him. I don't know that I could do that. And it sets an example, but it also expresses his concern for individuals, for those who are suffering. And it was a kind of embrace that one thinks of Jesus doing when he was ministering to those who were blind or crippled, whatever. And the third was last night, yesterday in Rome at, again, Holy Thursday, he goes to a center for the elderly and the disabled. And so he washes the feet of those who have psychiatric problems, cerebral palsy, and all the rest, including one was a woman and one was a Muslim from North Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of non-traditional response that, at least in terms of the church, that says we are about loving all of humanity.
And has the examples, the breaking of tradition that he has made along these lines, had an effect that we can measure?
Well, we could measure it by surveys, I'm sure. But just in conversation with a variety of people who say, you know, I just love this Pope. I think the world of this Pope. This Pope is really what a Pope should be. And what they're saying, I think, is that he fulfills their expectation of what a man of God like the Pope should be. That he's joyful, that he reaches out to people, that he's not concerned at all with the trappings and the bureaucracy of being a pope. The decision to live in Casa Santa Marta, for example, instead of in the Vatican apartments. I was reading an interview with him in which he said, you know, I really didn't leave the papal apartments because they were luxurious. He said they're clean and they're nice and they're big. But it's too much like a funnel. To get in is very hard. Once you're inside, it's huge, but the entryway is guarded by so many bureaucrats that I prefer Casa Santa Marta, where I'm in a community of people who don't have to go through a lot of things to be with me, whether it's saying Mass in the morning or anything else. He longs for community. And he has said that he knows if he doesn't do that, he could become a very selfish man.
Yeah. You know, I did see a recent article that said, while we don't know yet about the Pope Francis effect in terms of, you know, swelling congregation numbers in the United States, we do know from a survey that more people are giving to charitable causes and trying to help, you know, the poor. And this is being more Catholics are being surveyed and saying that they are doing this. They want to do more to help the poor because of Pope Francis. So that's certainly an effect.
Well, I think coming back to church would probably be one of the last steps in the process. But, you know, I see among our students, and I know it's true of students elsewhere among Catholic universities, certainly, that service is a major focus for them. They want to reach out into the community. And I think he is helping them focus that drive to be of service. And that's why he resonates among the younger generation. I think among us who are in the older generation, he is such a refreshing change. For example, to talk about confession as a field hospital rather than a torture chamber, which those are his words, I think is exactly on the mark. I know from youth on, a number of us think of the confessional as a torture chamber, a very difficult moment. And he said, no, think of it rather as a place where the wounds get healed. That is a reframing of in a major way of how we understand our role within the church. And then you add to that what he's done to reach out to people. There is that kind of effect of the Pope being a leader. I would point also to Atlanta, where the Archbishop Wilton Gregory apologized to the people for building a $2.2 million papal residence and sold it and said, this is, you know, Pope Francis is showing us that we need to live a simpler life. That's effect.
We are talking about Pope Francis and the Pope Francis effect on this Good Friday, talking about how the Pope is making quite the impression with young people and others by breaking tradition and shifting the focus of Catholic Church priorities to the poor and the downtrodden and away from divisive social issues like homosexuality or abortion. What do you think? What's your impression of Pope Francis? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 22 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, April 18th. We are talking with Bill Thorne, an associate professor in the Journalism and Media Studies Department at Marquette University, the director of the Institute for Catholic Media, also a consultant to Vatican Communications since 1982, talking about Pope Francis on this Good Friday and how he continues to garner interest regarding his work with the poor and his focus on a simpler life, talking about how the pontiff is reframing the position of the Catholic Church and welcoming your thoughts and questions about the Pope Francis effect. Is he changing your mind about the Catholic Church? Are you perhaps someone who was Catholic but stopped going to church? Might you go back? What do you think about this Pope and his effect? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. John in Oconomowoc is with us. Hello, John.
Good morning. I was listening to your program, and I agree. I find this new Pope very interesting, and I enjoy him a lot. I travel a number of different parishes, and I can recall the priest coming up before the Pope was anointed and saying, I hope the next Pope comes out in sackcloth. And I think this Pope came as close to that as you're going to find. I just find it very enjoyable. My question is, though, I love what he's setting as an example, but I don't see the area priest following that example. And if they're just going about their same day-to-days as they did before he was installed, and you mentioned the Archbishop in Atlanta, and I don't see where he made a change because of the Pope. He made a change because of the outcries about the publicity that came out. And so I don't think it's resonating necessarily with the level, you know, in the community.
What's your reaction to that, Bill?
Oh, I think he's probably quite right. The priests, especially those who are mid-career and beyond, are a difficult group to change because they found a pattern that suits them. By the way, Wilton Gregory, in an interview, said his reason for selling the residence and all the rest was specifically the example of the Pope. There may have been outcry as well, although the Atlanta area is like 3% Catholic. But he said the Pope has shown him that this is inappropriate. So I'm quoting Wilton Gregory, not guessing about his motives. But I think this is the trouble with any organization. You get a new leader who wants to set a new course, and you go down about five tiers in the structure, and you find people who just aren't quite sure they want to make that change, that they're just not comfortable with that change. I think that's very much a human issue, and I think he's right. The Pope is a man whose joy in being Catholic and in being a bishop just comes out in everything he does. That kind of joyful way of looking at life coupled with service is an example that I hope a lot of others follow. And I think it takes time for that to really work its way through the whole of the institution. The ones I think who will be most likely to change are the young clergy and those who are in seminary now, rather than those who are in the latter years of their priestly careers.
Thanks very much, John, for the call. Let's go next to Sue in Watertown. Hi, Sue.
Hi, good morning. I have been having arguments about religion with my son-in-law for over 30 years. He is a non-believer, and he called me not too long ago and said, Sue, your poop, I'm sorry.
That's okay, we understand.
Your Pope has made me want to turn Catholic. And so I just think that pretty much sums up what even non-Catholics and Catholics think about this Pope. Mm-hmm. As far as the other priests go, you know, they're just human like the rest of us. Everybody resists change, but he's setting a good example.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sue. So is the Pope convincing non-believers to become believers, Bill?
Well, he's setting the kind of example that says there is joy in my religious belief. This gives me a way not only to be happy, but to reach out to those who are poor and dispossessed and sick and infirm and all the rest, and I do it with a sense of joy. That's a powerful example. It reminds me of St. Francis, who once said famously to his followers, preach Jesus always, use words if you have to. And what he was saying is the example of your life is what really says, I am a follower, I am a believer. And that's the joy we see in this Pope. And that's why her son-in-law said, I really like, because he sees through the Pope's actions and his joy a different kind of meaning than you may have gotten from Benedict XVI, who was a theologian. And when he was in public, was giving theological explanations. Not that that's bad, not that he was wrong, but it's a different side of the church. And this Pope, I think, is acting out what it means to be a Catholic in the terms that St. Francis would certainly understand.
85% of American Catholics, according to a poll on CNN.com, view Pope Francis favorably, 85% of American Catholics. To what do you attribute that? But I also, in our couple of minutes before the newscast, how come 15% don't view him favorably? Because he breaks tradition?
Okay, there are 15% who may be, or at least I don't know how that breaks down, but a portion of them may be so accustomed to the kind of serious, sin-provoking popes that they want somebody who's going to be authoritarian. They want somebody who's going to say, you know, you're going to hell if you don't stop doing this, or you shouldn't be doing that. There, we've had popes who seem to be more of that vein than this one. He's not arguing theology. He's not saying you need to do this, you can't do that. He is simply being himself and being this man of joy inspired by his religion. And I've heard some questions about whether he is really changing doctrine in some way, because he's not constantly talking about the two hot-button issues of the era, homosexuality and abortion. I think it was Cardinal Dolan who in an interview said about...
Let me hold you there, because we're going to have news, and we'll hold that quote over until after news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. On this Good Friday, we are talking about the Pope Francis effect. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Friday, April 18th. While some say there hasn't been a measurable effect in terms of growing congregation numbers in the U.S. and that the Pope hasn't officially changed church doctrine, we are talking about the Pope's attempt to shift the focus onto issues regarding the poor and the downtrodden, and to give more attention to leading a simpler life and helping the poor and disabled. What is your impression of Pope Francis, and has Pope Francis changed your view of the Catholic Church? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Bill Thorne, an associate professor in the Journalism and Media Studies Department at Marquette University and the director of the Institute for Catholic Media. He is also a consultant to Vatican Communications since 1982. And Bill, you were we were talking a little bit just before news time that some wonder if the Pope is changing church doctrine when it comes to the divisive issues of homosexuality and abortion. And you're saying that's not what he's doing?
No, he's not changing the teaching at all, but what he is doing is talking about how he as Pope and how the Church should view these. He was at World Youth Day, enormously successful, 5 million youth, and on the way back on his plane, there were a group of Vatican journalists. And one of them asked him about homosexuality because there were accusations about a priest in the Vatican. And the Pope simply said the church is much bigger than the issue of homosexuality and abortion. He said, if a man is of good will and searching for God, who am I to judge him? And then went on to say that there are many more concerns that the church has to deal with, and he's not going to be put in a corner of dealing with only two issues as though that's all the church is about. And I think it's important to understand that I was in a conference in Rome a year ago or so with one of the now cardinals, who was in Doctrine Congregation for Doctrine and Faith. And he was giving an address. He put the formal paper down and said, I'm a little disturbed this morning. He said, yesterday I was in an interview with a journalist who wanted to know if the church had teachings on sexuality and sexual behavior. And I said, well, yeah, we've got about 2,000 years of thinking and writing about those things. He said, and the interview went on, what do we think about, you know, all sorts of dimensions of sexuality, and the journalist left. He said, and this morning the paper is Church Obsessed with Sex. He said, we're not obsessed with it. The reporter is obsessed with it. And I think what he was doing in his own way, Pope Francis was doing in his own way, saying, don't ask me those questions. You know where the church stands on those, and the church is bigger than that, and I'm not going to be locked into a pope whose focus is only on two issues that you choose to emphasize.
Yeah.
So he's not changing doctrine. He's simply saying, look, there's another whole dimension of this church that has been ignored, and that's what I'm going to focus on.
Yeah. And that's how he is, as you had mentioned, how he is reframing the priorities,
right,
or the positions of the church in the public square.
Absolutely. This is, if you want to go scriptural, this is the Sermon on the Mount in action. Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked. And that's what he's doing, and he does it with joy. I am convinced that the symbolic part of his actions is that people can see he is so joyful, and his faith makes him joyful. That's what people are reading. Not theological tracts, because that's not that he couldn't do it. He's a Jesuit, after all. Not that he couldn't, and actually chemistry was his first doctorate. Not that he couldn't do it, but he sees things very, very different, and always has. When he was in Argentina, the images of him riding the metro and going out once a week into the slums to meet with those who are in the slums. He understands Jesus's message in a way that calls for action, and he acts on it. And that's what I think people find so refreshing.
Let's take some more calls. Jane in Linkville is with us. Hello, Jane.
Hello. I'm calling because I come from a family of very fallen away Catholics. My brother was completely turned off by all the opulence he saw in Europe. And he left the church and he left God. Well, he's a teacher now, and he came home and we were chatting up about the Pope. And he said he couldn't believe it. He was standing at the hall of his high school, and two girls were walking by in a big conversation. And one thing he heard was, I just love the Pope. And I think that's how we all feel. And I'm hoping that this will carry over into our own government here in the United States, where we start to pull away from all the influence of big money and start to focus on the people.
Thank you very much, Jane. Well, that got political, but Bill, what do you think?
I think he's setting an example that calls Christians to reflect on a lot of things, like the opulence of government, like the control of big money. Although that's not what he's trying to do. I mean, this is a man who is leading us back to what Jesus taught and to Jesus himself. Care for these people. I was struck in February. I was in Rome for a conference, and I was watching the people in the audience area in St. Peter's Square. And I've been there a number of times over the last 30 years, and I'm watching this father with about a 4 or 5-year-old son on his shoulders so his son could see the Pope in the Pope mobile. And he began running to a corner where he was sure the Pope would be able to see his son, or at least his son see the Pope. I've never seen that before. Here is a father running with his son on his shoulders. And that's the kind of response he evokes, because I think people read in him the kindliness that they have always hoped they would find in God, and in the role that Christians take on in their own lives, that there is this kind of love. Somebody had interviewed him at one point and said, well, what do you say about the homosexual? And he said, first of all, is God happy or unhappy with this individual as he has been made? That has to be our first inquiry when we approach this. He is a human, a son of God, and therefore I have to approach him that way. And I think that, that kind of reframing comes out of the Pope's own love of people.
Let's see, we have Ned on Facebook who writes, I was as excited as anyone when they announced a Latin American Jesuit who took the name Francis. His focus on economic justice and the environment is fantastic. He may not be openly pro-LGBT equality or okay with birth control, but I think he is moving a massive institution in the right direction. Just a response to that, Bill?
Oh, I think he. One of the things that, that comes to mind is the Pope's trip to Sardinia, an island out in the Tyrrhenian. It's a poor island, but it has mountains and some mines. The mine owners, just before the Pope got there, decided to close the mines. Even though they were still making some money, they said they weren't making enough money. And so about 60% of the people on the island are unemployed. And he put down his notes, his prepared address, and said, business owners and mine owners and the others need to give equal consideration to the moral implications of their decisions as they do to the economic part. He said they need to be concerned about what their decisions will mean for the people whose livelihoods depend on that company. That's in some ways a fairly radical statement, and it's not one we're accustomed to hearing from the Pope, from popes in the past, and yet it is an expression of his understanding how difficult it is for the Sardinians now to be unemployed, to be, to some extent, destitute, without jobs.
We are talking about Pope Francis on this Good Friday. Pope Francis broke with the tradition again on Thursday when he participated in the traditional washing of feet, and he was washing the feet of disabled and women and a Muslim, talking about other ways that Pope Francis has broken with tradition and is trying to reframe the priorities, the position of the church in the public square. And we're welcoming your impressions, your questions about Pope Francis and the Pope Francis effect. Is he changing attitudes about the Catholic Church? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Into a classroom without becoming nauseated. I have known other people with problems similar to my own as
I'm
well.
I'm Joy
as the
Cardine. This is the Ideas
abused.
Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 11 minutes before 8 on this Friday, April 18th, and we are talking about Pope Francis
and, in my opinion,
and his,
his
growing popularity,
being used
his
as a marketing strategy,
untraditional approach, his reframing of the position of the Catholic Church, and we're welcoming your thoughts and impressions of
Thank
Pope
you.
Francis. 1-800-642-1234
for what happened
or send an email
to you,
but talk
well,
at
let me get you your response.
Ann in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Ann.
The Pope is just
Thank
a marketing ploy and can't
Joy.
Do anything about
I really have to tell you,
the
I was
abuses
in the Catholic
that
family.
We know about
no
in the
Catholic,
Catholic. Church that
I was
Ann was subjected to.
As a 6-year-old by a nun who was supposed to be my teacher,
great,
who
great
affected the rest
the
of my education through high school.
Those
I could not walk into a classroom without becoming nauseated. I have known other people with problems similar to my own as well as the people who have been abused.
And
quite
I think
frankly,
he's,
this man
he's very
may be
conscious
as genuine
that, but
and as wonderful as I'm hearing he is,
him.
But I know this institution.
I'm around
and in
the communication
opinion,
people.
He is nothing more
and,
than someone being used as a marketing
the
strategy
there aren't people
to pull
who
people
pull
back
strings
into
and decide
the church
they're going to do this or
because
that
they're too
as
bad,
a
that they were
communication or marketing strategy.
Is falling away.
Secondly,
from them.
The coverage that he's getting.
Well, and I'm very sorry for what happened to you.
Really,
but, well, let me get
Italian
your response.
Have become
Bill
quite,
Thornton thinks
I don't want to say
the
cynical,
Pope is,
but skeptical
is just a marketing ploy and can't do anything about
because of what
the abuses that we know about.
There was
in
an article in Corriere
dello
Sera,
subjected
to. Major Italian newspaper, the combination of the Wall Street Journal.
Great sympathy
and,
for
and
the
New York
that
Times
has gone through.
And
those
one
horror
of the
stories
things that this article
very
focused
much
on was that
part of
this
the history
without
of the church,
a formal
here, but,
communication
but
plan.
And I think
he's
very conscious
the
of
imagination
that,
I don't know
of journalists and Catholics alike
because
I'm around the communication people.
And so
I think
the
there
Pope
may
sets
be some.
Some
there
very
aren't people
powerful
who pull
communication
strings
effects,
and decide they're going
to do this
or
not
that.
Plan strategy.
As a
communication
his plan
or
is
strategy.
To be
secondly,
an outreach to
the
poor and the crippled
that he's getting
and the homeless and
comes
others
from journalists. Who are
and
really,
I think that
the Italian journalists
have become quite
another
I don't want to say cynical but
negative
skeptical
type
about a lot of things in
email
church.
From or I'm sorry Facebook comment from Jerry. I like the new Pope and his new ideas but I don't think the local church officials have seen the same light. Case in point,
Journal
the Milwaukee Church is protecting
and
their assets for their bankruptcy by trying to maintain a $57 million cemetery
that
trust. Really? $57 million? So is this not filtering down to the local level, Bill?
Has captivated the imagination
with all the
of journalists
around the world
each, because
each
bishop
so
in charge
authentic.
Of his own. And so I suspect
I think there
it's
may
not
be
come
some,
out
in
some in
very
that particular
powerful
legal area.
There is another
effects,
dimension
but
to that.
This is not a planned strategy.
The church here
has
argued
plan
that this
is
money
to be
was
an
given
to the poor and the
to
crippled
maintain
and
the
homeless
tombs
and others
and the cemeteries
and I think that
their loved ones who have passed away,
another,
and therefore it ought to be segregated from
email
any other
from
monies,
I'm sorry, Facebook comment from Jerry. I like
trust.
The new Pope and his new ideas, but
I don't know. About
I don't
that
think
part.
The local church officials have seen the same light.
Great
case
concern.
In point, the Milwaukee Church is protecting their assets for their bankruptcy by trying to maintain
but,
a $57 million cemetery trust. Really, $57 million? So is this not filtering down to the local
all,
level, Bill?
Signing their ownership
well,
of property.
I, it's
because all
it
the diocese
them
together
around the
way,
world, each
which
bishop
diminishes
in charge
both.
Of his own.
But
nonetheless, in this instance,
it's not
I think
come out
the Pope's
in
message
that
of caring
area, there
for
is another
people
dimension
using
to
your
that.
Resources to do
that.
The
church
is one
that
is argued
filtering
that
down.
Money
how
powerfully,
I don't know,
you
to get
maintain
the
tombs.
Situation
we are in this country from diocese
loved
to diocese,
ones who have passed away.
I think it,
and therefore
it ought
to be
a case of accounting any
other
monies
blunders
because it was given in
sins,
trust.
I'm not a lawyer.
Errors that were done.
I don't know about that
scandal.
Part. I know it.
Kathleen
is,
in Madison is with us now. Hello,
that
Kathleen.
Has caused great concern.
Hello.
And
I'm actually an atheist, and I think
but,
a lot of atheists want to just
the reality
get rid of
is Thomas
religion
Jefferson always
altogether. And I don't. I think that it provides
no
a lot of good in people's
all,
lives and
signing their ownership of property.
I really like Pope Francis because I like that he is leading millions of people
both.
Through the world into
but
a place
nonetheless,
of
in this
focusing
instance,
on compassion
I think
and
the
focusing on
message of,
you know,
of caring
income inequality
for
and making things
to
better
that
for everybody. And
is
when I heard that he was
filtering
somebody
down
from South America,
how powerfully,
I was like, oh,
I don't know.
And thank you,
get
South
into
America.
This
is someone who will have actually seen
situation. We are
real
in
poverty.
From
he will get what is
diocese.
Actually important in
I
life.
Think it's,
so even as an atheist, I'm just
a case
like, okay,
of accounting
this,
for
this
past
is great, you know?
Blunders,
all of these religions
sins,
in the world, they all have
errors that
and
done
if you could
treat
somebody with that much compassion for all of
them, Kathleen in Madison is with us now. Hello, Kathleen. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Quick react.
I'm actually an atheist. I think a lot of atheists want to get rid of religion altogether, and I think the Pope's acting out what we consider to be the Christian message of compassion.
I'm just really grateful for Francis because I like that he is prompting millions of people from the world into a place of focusing on compassion, Episcopalian, and making things better for everybody, and what I heard that he was saying to somebody from South America, I was like, wow.
Thank you, South America.
And it's not just within the Christian tradition either, but that's where it would be most powerfully because he keeps referring to this as the way Christ would view other people and view the world around us.
Janice and Lacrosse is with us now. Hi, Janice.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Joy. Thank you. I thank you for your guest in this great program.
I am Catholic, and I just want to reiterate what a lot of what Chris already said, but I think it's wonderful. He's a breath of fresh air.
And it makes you want, you can live your faith now. And to me, for me, in the secular world here that we're always going up against, it seems like, it's like, you know what, I don't have to feel bad about living what I believe, my faith as a Catholic. And it's wonderful. I mean, he's such a compassionate man. He sets a beautiful example for all of us to follow. And no, the teachings of the church have been there for 2,000 years. They haven't changed. Just, you know, like I said, the truth is the same. People change, but the truth goes straight ahead. And the church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes, they have. But basically, the truths are always there, and they're just solid. And this is a guy that's saying, the truths aren't changed. I'm just doing this compassion that
Janice
God has always
Lacrosse
been speaking
is with
about.
Us now. Hi, Janice.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you, Janice. Hi, Joy. Thank you.
How about that? Does she now feel she can be practice of her religion openly in the secular
Catholic,
world?
I am Catholic, and I just want to reiterate
well,
what just a lot of what
Chris
has already said.
Well, it certainly poses an alternate image for us as Catholics in the public square.
And it makes you want, you can live your faith now. And to me, for me, in the secular world here that we're always going up against, it seems like, that it's like, you know what, I don't have to feel bad about living
what I believe, my faith, and the Catholic. And I think she's exactly on that. You cannot live a very religious tradition either, but we have this Pope's joyful, clearly a man of the Church, the abortion debate, the truth of the Christian tradition, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they have, and the Church is, you know, even though they've fallen short, yes they poses the Ideas Network?
Well, it certainly poses an alternate image for us as Catholics in the public square to the one that we have lived with through the abortion debate and through the pedophilia scandal. And I think she's exactly on, that you can now lift up your head and say, well, we have this Pope who is joyful, who is prayerful, who is clearly a man of God, and we are about that more than about the sins of the others earlier in the church, and this focus on the in the political arena on the abortion debate and the homosexuality issues.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Oh, you're entirely welcome.
Bill Thorne, Associate Professor in the Journalism and Media Studies Department at Marquette University. Thanks to Robin Cherry and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. This is the Ideas Network.